to you on a very important thing, really. The Lord laid it on my heart the other day. I've been praying about what I was going to do tonight, and I had all sorts of different ideas. But the Lord gave me this. He said, no, this is what you need to do tonight. Jonah chapter 1. So now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, anytime you think about Jonah, you're like, what was he thinking? but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know what he was thinking. Or maybe he wasn't thinking. You can't run from the presence of the Lord. Amen? You can't do that. Now, I'll give you a little quicker update here. He went and he gets on there, he goes down there and he crawls in the belly of that thing and goes to sleep. Now during all this time, the Lord brings a storm. And the storm come along and man, the sailors are just coming uncorked. They don't know what they're going to do. They're throwing stuff overboard and they're praying to their little G gods. And things ain't changing. And they're like, you know, this ain't good. You ever have one of those minutes? This ain't good. Amen. That's I've had several of them. But that's the way they were looking at it. And Jonah, they wake him up and said, what's the matter with you, man? Get up here. Pray to your God. He said, throw me overboard. And they're like, no, we're not going to. Well, they threw him overboard. The storm quit. Now, I'll give you a news flash. Those guys got saved, by the way. If you read the story of Jonah, you'll figure it out that those guys on that boat, they trusted in the Lord. That's what I read. So now, the fish swallows Jonah, or the whale, however you want to look at it. People say, well, that can't happen. Listen, if he can make a pearl big enough for gates in heaven, he can make a fish swallow a human.
Amen.
That's just the way I see it.
Yes, sir.
Swallows him, and he spent some time in there, to be exact, 3 days. And then he shows up on the bank. He got puked up on the bank. Now, it's hard to say what he looked like. I'd say he looked pretty rough. He goes down to the word of the Lord, by the way, came again unto Jonah. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came again unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah, notice that, he arose and he went to Nineveh.
Amen.
The Lord gets your attention. You'll do what he wants. Amen. Amen. And he preached unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to stop there for now. We are, this entire, I'm just going to narrow it down to our nation. Our nation is one generation away from losing everything.
Amen.
One generation away from losing it all. One generation away from us being able to come here and do what we do freely.
Amen.
Without fear. I come in here and I preach the word of God, and there for a while I was putting it on Facebook and they'd lock me up because I'd say something that they think is wrong, and I don't know who died and left them in charge. But they'd locked my Facebook down, wouldn't let me do anything. I got fed up with it. But nonetheless, I still come in here and I still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I still preach the truth. I don't mind just point blank saying it. I don't have a filter. I'm blunt. And that may cost me one day. But that's all right. If it's for the Lord, it'll be worth it. So I look at it and I back up and look at all the generations over the years. They've been faithful. They have been faithful generations. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus, down south they say if you're born again. Now you got to say that right, born again. Or you're saved, or you have asked Jesus into your heart, you trusted the Lord Jesus. If you're one of them, listen, really and truly, we're a gift. You see, Jesus was God's gift to us. Because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we can have eternal life.
Amen.
Now, but guess what we are? We're God's gift to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? We are. So here's the question. What kind of gift are you? You ever opened up a gift at Christmas or birthday and you're like, oh yeah, that's so nice. And then you take it back or you put it in the closet and you find a little dirt on it. What kind of gift are we? I mean, truly, ask yourself, what kind of gift am I? Am I that gift that you wanna brag about, that you wanna talk about to everybody? We need to ask ourselves that.
Amen.
You see, when we're born again, when we're born, period. Everybody in here was born, wasn't nobody hatched, other than maybe Logan. Logan might have been hatched. No, he wasn't. When we're born with a race, we're born with a color, we're born with certain abilities, things of that nature, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Isn't that the way you're supposed to say that? But, I like conjunction. See, my wife told me, but is a conjunction, because I don't know English well enough. But when you get the word but in there, when we're born again, when we're saved, we're in Christ.
Amen.
Now guess what? We all become one.
Amen.
When we're born again and we're serving the Lord in His church, we're a body.
Yes.
And we're together.
There
is no race, there is no colors.
Amen.
Everybody's got their little abilities that they serve the Lord with.
Yes.
We're all God's children.
Yes.
And that's what counts. You see, we're in the body of Christ. Now, a person may know the word. I've met people that, oh man, they know the book. Man, they can tell you stuff out of it. I shouldn't bring this up. You ever sat in a bar and listened to some of them drunks? Them dudes know the word of God. They do. Some best preaching I ever heard has been in a bar. They just preaching, and they know the Bible. They can quote you scripture. But here's my question. Just listen. If you read a book and learn all about brain surgery, all there is to know about it, does that make you a brain surgeon?
No.
Can you do it? That's the question. Can you do the brain surgery? So the question is, what we got to ask ourselves is, we know the word, but are we living it? Are we practicing it? Are we truly serving the Lord? It's not in the way you dress. I came here this morning, man, I was dudeed up this morning now. I had on a nice slacks that goes with my suit. I had a pink, light pink shirt on. Nice tie my wife picked out. It ain't about what I had on. It's about what's right here.
Amen. 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 Truth.
Are we living for the Lord? Are we a gift for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's important because as I started this out, we're one generation from losing it all. And it's getting worse and worse, to be honest with you. Why do we have church? You ever thought about that? What's the purpose of church? We come here and we learn and we teach and we come here to provoke each other to love and compassion with each other. Hebrews 10, my favorite chapter. Hebrews 10 and 22 through 25, we got to leave out 26. 26 tells you if you don't go to church, you're sinning. But anyway, we won't go there. But all the other in there I just mentioned, about 22 through 25, that's what we come here for.
Amen.
We come here to provoke. Man, when I saw Sheldon and his family and Javen, it just, joy come into my heart this morning. I'm like, oh, look. Because they've been sick and I've been missing them. And then I'm standing outside and I look and lo and behold, there's that Lion Elmo. And but he's got his wife with him, so he's not lying. But I bubbled up inside. I was like, oh, that's just awesome. That's why we come to church. But why do we have church? I'm going to be honest with you. Faithfulness. There was faithfulness of the apostles. The Lord Jesus started his church on the seashore of Galilee with those apostles. Now, what if they'd have done, or what if they'd have had an attitude as American, I'll just put that away, American Christians do? We may not have a church. We may not have one to go to. Why do we have churches today, honestly? Because of the faithfulness of saints over the years.
Yeah.
We had one laying here this morning. Her old earthly tabernacle was here. She didn't have it.
That's right.
But listen, this woman, honestly, she joined the mission down there in Lone Mountain in Las Vegas. And they built that one. And then Brother John and his family and Brother Phil and Sister Judy lived up here. And they were driving back and forth. That gets old after a while.
Amen.
Yeah. And they said, well, hey, we ought to start a mission up here. Well, it started, and here it is. Amen. Faithfulness of the saints. My grandmother and some of you guys' grandparents, their faithfulness is the reason that we're still able to do this.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Will we have any churches tomorrow? Think about it. Will we have any tomorrow? Will our children, our grandchildren, will they do what we're doing? We got to ask ourselves that. The greatest generation in my life, well, before my lifetime, but what made my life what it is just about all gone.
That's true.
All of them now are pretty much in their 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
They fought to keep this free.
That's right.
They were faithful to keep the churches going.
Amen.
Then we come along with, what do you want to call them? The baby boomer generation. What a mess we made. faithfulness.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to be up front with you. I ain't always been faithful.
Yeah.
I ain't always been on this side of the pulpit either.
Yes, ma'am.
But I ain't always been faithful. My wife used to beg, man, let's go to church, honey. Why? I just couldn't get it. Her dad was a pastor. Son, you need to get in church now. But the baby boomer generation made a mess. They dropped the ball. Now, I don't even know now. These other generations that we have, they got all kind of names. They got the Z's and the the X and the, I don't know what, the millennials and the... You know, when you do the studies, and I was going to do that, I was going to write it all down for you, the statistics, but I didn't. But it, I've heard them announced, I've read them, it's ridiculous. Of those guys that actually are faithful to church. Most of the churches in America today are pretty much 30-year-old and up. Now, I'm looking at, if the Lord tarries and He keeps me healthy, I got another 15 years, maybe. And maybe I'll throw 20 in there. If I'd make it in here at 80. Some of you guys in here, you got another 30. You might have another 50 if you go up to 80. Some of you guys in here about done. But when you think reality, see, reality is really, when I turn, I'm 61, I'm gonna tell on me. I've never really thought about age much. But when I turn 60, I'm like, oh wow. I told her, I said, I'm gonna get a dog because that'd be the last dog I get. If she lived about 15 years, that'd be it. Because I ain't going to want to train another one at 75, and I may not even be here. And I told her, I said, if we ever buy another vehicle, I said, it's most of their cost now, the one I want, I wouldn't be allowed to pay it off. They'd have to finance it for 30 years, you know. How long you got your truck financed for, 30? On a fixed rate. You know, what's it going to be like at Wagon Wheel in 10 more years? We got to think about that. Because the generation that's coming up ain't doing so good. Amen. But I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of that's our fault.
Amen.
We can blame it on ourselves. You see, we need a revival, a spiritual awakening in this nation. I don't think it's done. It can happen again.
Yes.
It really can.
Yes.
But we just need to do that. I'm going to read one scripture here. I'm going to go to 2nd. I got a bunch of scriptures here, but I better read. Well, yeah. Go to 1 Kings 15:12. That's one of them new Bibles. I still got to find everything. And apparently it's... 1 Kings, I tell you what we'll do. Brother Sheldon, I'm going to have you read 1 Kings 15:12. Brother Javen, 2 Kings 10:27. My wife, 2 Kings 11:18. Who do I want to pick on? Sister Diane, 2 Kings 23:4, and I'll catch this last one. So, Brother Sheldon, what you got?
1 Kings 15:12. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made.
Now, you notice that's King Asa. You see what he did? He removed what needed to be removed. What's the next one?
2 Kings 10:27. And they break down the image of Baal and break down the house of Baal and made it drop house unto this day.
That's King Jehu. King Jehoiada. 2 Kings 11:18. Josiah, King Josiah, 2 Kings 23:4.
And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel.
Now, 2 Chronicles 19:3 is King Jehoshaphat. He's, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and God has prepared thine heart to seek God." You see, what we need is a revival in this country that we would, first off, we got to start in our own lives.
Yes.
We got to start getting rid of some stuff in our own lives, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to get it out of our out of the home, and then we're not going to be able to get it out of the nation. See, that's where the problem at. I want to blame it all on the administration we have now, or the one we had years prior. You can back on up as far as you want to.
Yeah.
I'd like to blame it on them, but I'm going to be up front with you. It ain't them, because guess who's in charge? God is. God's in charge of all of it, has been, always will be, and there ain't nothing they can do to change it. God allows these things to take place. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. I was talking with Brother Jim Black, and I think we blew it. Now, we may not have, but we had 4 years where you could say Jesus on public TV and nobody complained. I don't care whether you liked him or not. We could do that. We had a president, whether you liked him or not, that would stand there and talk about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hello. That's an important thing. The nut we got now don't even know what room he's in.
Amen.
And he ain't going to say nothing about Jesus. Matter of fact, he'd like to just do away with it altogether. You see, that's a problem. We had it rolling, and I think we just, oh, isn't this so nice? And we just strolled on through. And then it was like, oops. I think God might have said, hey, you guys need to wake up. You're not far from losing everything that this country was built on.
Amen.
Now, this country's got a lot of past that just flat out stinks. I'm going to be honest with you. But all that's gone. It's all gone. It's opened up to a whole different world that we live in. If you'll apply yourself, you can do what you need to do. That's a fact. I can blame it on whatever I want, but the truth is, it's what my life is with God. You see, when I get my life right, when I get rid of all of those things that we've been talking about, and you have to replace that. I don't have any idols of Baal.
All right.
But do we have any idols?
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. It's whatever we put before God. Is it a car?
Right. Amen.
Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's, I like to fish. What is it? We need to be serious with it. The prophet Elijah, 1 Kings 18, super story in 17 and 18. I love the story. But he said this, and it's very profound. And when you really think about it, it'll nail you right in the center of the chest. 18 verse 21. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to walk on this side of the fence? How long are you going to straddle it? You know, some of us, I'm going to tell you a secret about straddling a barbed wire fence. It ain't good.
Amen.
It ain't safe.
Amen.
That's what God's trying to tell us. How long are we going to live this way in the world, Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday now we back in where we ought to be, right? How many of us are that away sometimes? I ain't saying all this, but how many of us do that? Amen. Some of us are that away. Now we do, praise God that I can back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And He'll forgive me.
Amen.
He told us that 1 John 1:9.
Amen.
That's not about getting saved. That's about cleaning your feet.
That's right.
You know, he says, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But look what the answer was. And the people answered him, not a word. Oh, they got quiet. Now, here's the sad part about they got quiet. They were going to see who was going to win. That's sad. Amen. That they had gotten to that point in their life that they're going to see which one wins. Because see, there was a contest going on. And I told you, it's a super story. You ought to read it. I love Elijah in there. Maybe he's asleep. You know, I'm talking about their God, Baal. That was great.
Amen.
But the sad part is the people had done gotten to the point that it was like, well, we just ain't going to say nothing. You know, Lord, help us not to get to that point. Amen. We don't need to get to that point. Go to Psalm 62. King David. Oh, everybody loves King David. He was a liar. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But yet he was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
He didn't live a perfect life. I started out perfect when I got up this morning. Didn't last long. It didn't last long. Fell apart in a hurry because we ain't perfect. King David wasn't perfect, but I want you to look at what he says. This is very important. Verse 1 and 2. Truly my soul waiteth upon the Lord. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I'm not going to be greatly moved. Now I might move, but I ain't going to be greatly moved. It's going to take a lot to move me. Oh, but then notice verse 5 and 6. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. Oh, wrong verse, wrong chapter. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved.
Amen.
It wasn't greatly moved now. Now he says, I'm not going to be moved. Listen, we've got to put a foot down and we've got to say no. Amen. We're going to stand on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to make sure that we go to prayer and get rid of the problems we've got, whether they be Republicans, Democrats, or whatever they are. We need to pray and get rid of it because we need to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to pray for these people.
Yes.
We need to pray for our nation. Our nation, listen, had got problems.
Amen.
Big problems. We need to pray for our kids.
That's right.
All these kids. We need to pray for them because, listen, they face a lot of garbage every day. They see a lot of garbage on TV.
Yes.
They see a lot of garbage on the internet. But I'm going to tell you what we better be doing. We better be teaching them. You see, you know why I love the Lord? Because my grandparents did. And because my parents did. That's what I saw in my dad and my mom. I saw that in my grandparents. We used to go to my grandparents' house. She'd sit down and she'd play her little guitar out of tune. And she'd sing songs. I'd still hear that voice singing. You know, she used to sing... they change the words to the thing. Oh, what's the one I sing sometimes?
Just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. She used to sing that. I can still hear that little high-pitched voice singing that song. That is why I said, you know what? One day it finally came to me. I'm like, she knew something I didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she knew Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
That's what our children need to see in us. They need to know that we love the Lord.
Amen.
Because listen, if they don't know we love the Lord, I promise you the dad-blamed public school system ain't teaching them that.
That's right.
The America ain't going to teach them that. All they do is glorify sodomites, to be upfront with you.
Amen.
They glorify anything that is against God. That's what they want. And it's affecting our children big time. When you think back on my generation, those just before me, the baby boomers, what affected me? Mostly the TV, Saturday night special, and a lot of the music. It all went in here.
Yeah, that's right.
And it affected my thinking. It honestly did. And the culture at the time, peace, not love. And praise God, my dad was a Marine because he kept me going the right way. But you know what? That's what affected us. And it's caused lots of problems. And I'll be the first to tell anybody that. But, and I know a lot of it was the government's fault. I can't get into that. But I do. I know what it... Listen, Satan has been controlling the government for a long time. We fight against the principalities of the air. Evils. That's what we're fighting. And he's good at what he does. I got to hand that to him. Now let's go back to Jonah. If I didn't find it. Jonah, look, flip right to it. Start to be the right Bible. That's when you know you got a good Bible. When you just open it up, there it is. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, chapter 3. He headed into the city. And verse 5, he come at night. It's hard to say what he looked like. Some people say, well, the acid in the whale's stomach probably bleached him. Hey, it... he might have come running in there and they're like, whoa, what is that? And he's preaching and they're like, well, we better listen to him. I don't know. I wasn't there. Brother John, what do you think? You were, no. But he told him, he said, look, you got 40 days to get it together for God. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Look at verse 10. And God saw their works and they turned from their evil way and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. In other words, God turned around and he said, you know what? I'm not going to destroy them because guess what? They listened. They repented. Do you want me to tell you those guys are in heaven?
Yeah.
They are.
That's right. Amen.
They were some evil folk. Listen, they wore human skin around like I wore a deer coat around.
Oh, geez.
They would skin you out and they would wear it. They were evil people. They were mean. They put their... people's heads up on posts and they piled up bodies all in front of the castle so you wouldn't come into their gates. They were mean people. They were just wicked. But God said, if you'll repent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the sad part. If you go on and you read about Nineveh in the Bible, you study about Nineveh. Over in Nahum, a short 100 years later, God annihilated them. Because they'd lost the faith. It was gone. Didn't take long. You see, America, we may be... Now, I know, hey, I've read the end of the book. I know what's going to happen.
Amen.
I know that Jesus is going to show up, could at any time, and go, boop, and we're out of here.
Amen.
Shoot up like rockets.
Praise the Lord.
That'll be a blessing. I also know that, listen, the Antichrist is going to take over. But they ain't nowhere in here that says we can't back up and have a revival.
Amen.
They ain't nowhere in here that says we can't slow things down where more people can hear the word of Jesus. There's nothing in here that says the next generation has got to lose it all. But guess who it's up to? It was up to the apostles whether the church kept going. It was up to those guys after the apostles of whether the church kept going. John Clark and Roger Williams and some of those guys way back in the 1500s. It was up to my grandparents whether the church kept going. And it's up to us whether the church is going to keep going.
Amen.
You see, we can lose it all and it won't take long. And I'm going to be up front with you. I don't think it'd take a generation. I think we're about halfway through.
Right.
I don't think we're far from losing it. I don't see too far in the future we ain't going to be able to come to church if something don't change.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I started a while ago. We clean ourselves up, clean up our homes, get faithful to the Lord, serve the Lord the way we should,
Amen.
The way the Word of God says, not the way I think. But the way the Word of God says. If I do what's right in my own eyes, hey, I'd have been out fishing this morning. There'd have been some folks mad at me. Amen, Roger?
Amen.
Listen, it ain't about me. Bless your heart. It ain't about you.
Amen.
It's about Jesus.
Amen.
And it's about winning souls to the Lord to build it. That's what he wants.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
So, what kind of gift are you to the Lord? Amen. Are you that kind of gift that, oh man, you open it up and it's like, woo, hallelujah. Are you that kind of, says, oh honey, that night. That's what we need to ask ourselves. What kind of gift are we? Because we are God's gift to Jesus. You read chapter 15 of John. You read chapter 17 of John. God give Jesus us.
Amen.
He give us Jesus so that we can accept him as Savior.
Right. Yes. Amen. Yes.
We're that gift to Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation tonight.